evening and welcome to episode 16 of Matushka's Right Peg. As usual, I'm joined in the studio by Kyle, Baz and Mark. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
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 We're joining on a strange podcast in the sense that I went to buy some antique furniture on Saturday afternoon and missed the game. So I will hopefully, I probably picked a good one to miss, but hopefully I can get an overview of what I did miss fairly briefly, because I don't think we want to dwell on a 3-0 reverse away from home particularly. But maybe Baz, you can tell me what I missed, or maybe what I didn't miss.
Well, I never want to hear anything about gays being shopping queens. I mean, if you're missing out on a football match for something like that. What you did miss, I think, was unfortunately a splendid Wolfsburg performance and us being, well, missing in action is maybe not, is maybe exaggerated, but I read somewhere, I think in Kika, a system breakdown in the first half. So we really missed the usual intensity. We didn't really get into the fight. And it has to be said that Wolfsburg just took advantage of that with surgical precision, I think is the proper word, because if you look at the expected goal ratings, the difference wasn't that big, but in all honesty, the difference was bigger than the expected goals themselves. In the first half, they cut through our defense and sometimes through the heart of it with two or three passes. That is an extreme quality that we haven't faced a lot this time and does remind me a bit of the Dortmund away game as well. Well, those are two clubs that are far above us as well. And apparently for a reason. Second half, I think, was much better, but then we were already chasing them. So this was like one of those rare games where we didn't really stand a chance. And all in all, I think the end result was what we deserved.
Like Baz said, we weren't at the races for the whole game, particularly in the first half, though. Luther was fantastic and really was probably our only standout performance. Poyampalo was okay too. Had a couple of chances. He hit the post, but then we didn't really threaten the goal as much as we ought to. Like, we only had one shot on target the whole game. I would expect to see more from us as a team. We, like, even simple things like winning our duels, or, you know, the tactic of winning the duels or taking the foul, we didn't tend to see that much. There didn't seem to be fight in the team. There didn't seem to be that sort of heart. And particularly when we are trying to fight for Europe, and I know this is like a stretch goal for the team, to say the least, but I mind when we got promoted last season, or like our first season of Bundesliga last season, and we played Dortmund, and everyone that went to the Dortmund game got these t-shirts, and it had a slogan on it, and we had a tifo from the fans that had the slogan on it, and it translated to take your heart in both your hands. And I think going into these next two games, if the team want to qualify for Europe, they've really got to take their heart and put it in both their hands and fight for it and do their best for it, because that wasn't what we got on Saturday.
Before bringing Mark in, I'll make a couple of important points. One is that Baz, for any other listeners who don't know, Baz is certainly not homophobic, and I can 100% guarantee that. That's the first point. He'll call himself a queen, so don't worry about that. The other point to note is that I couldn't actually access my own house, so I did have to go out. So I was forced out, which unfortunately I'll be forced out for the next two Saturdays, unfortunately. But that said, so I was there with both hearts and all that. I'm not just letting the season slide away, and hopefully the Union players certainly aren't, and we'll see that in the next two games. But Mark, you've heard what Kyle and Baz have said about the fixture. What did you make of it on Saturday?
Yeah, first of all, that's some Andrew Cherry-like excuses there for missing out something there, Wilson. So well done on that one. Regarding that, I think everything's been said about the game at the weekend. It was as I suspected, somebody from the Wolfsburg team were about to fill their boots, but it wasn't unpronounceable name Dutch bloke. It was Josip Brekalo instead. Oh, annoying. Yeah, I think we just didn't turn up, basically. Let's not be under any illusions. We do play really quite awfully some of the time. Thankfully, it's not that often. But basically, the entire first half was a complete disaster. It was marred by chopping and changing. There were injuries pre-game. There was an injury to Ingvartsen, who didn't come out for the second half as well, all of which meant that we were very disjointed. The second half was slightly better. Poyan Polo had, like Kyle said, a fairly decent game. He was ploughing pretty much alone for up front. Endo, not very good, I have to say. I know it's not very Union-like, and we might come back to that later, and certainly we'll come back to Endo later as well with the new signings. But how can you put this? Needs to improve, really does. Was expecting much more from him. But that's one for the books. Have to move on, have to hope that the next two games, that there's a better performance. Like Kyle said, we're like so close. We almost don't seem to really care that much about the Conference League or the Europa League. But we said, I said in the last podcast how fantastic European football is. I stand by that absolutely. And with just a bare bit of like courage, we could easily do this. We could quite easily do this, and it would be a real crying shame to see us just fall outside at the end of that, despite how good the season has been, my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's interesting at this stage because everyone's dropping points, so we can come onto that later and see where everyone thinks we could get to. But sometimes you feel that with this Union side, there is that sort of maybe lack of self-belief at some of the bigger away days, thinking Frankfurt, thinking Dortmund, thinking Wolfsburg now, where we've turned up and we're shipping a hell of a lot of goals. You guys mentioned it being disjointed, and I mean Schlotterbeck was playing on the kind of the left hand side of the three centre halves. Ingvartsen came off, Musa came off. Obviously, there were a couple of other changes as well. So Kruse didn't start as well. Any thoughts on the sort of team selection and the substitutes?
Well, I don't know whether we had a lot of options, given that Kruse was only fit for the last 20 or 30 minutes, apparently, and Andrić stepping out after the warming up. The thing is that we have been playing with almost a B team in this season at several occasions, and we were really performing very, very well. This time we played with, let's say, half a B team, and we just, as Mark said, we didn't show up. I don't think that Urs could have done different things, not a lot. So I wouldn't want to criticize him for the team selection that he actually did. Endo was almost non-existent. Musa, same story. Poyan Palo is sometimes, I'd say, underestimated because he looks like really heavy and sluggish, but then he really tends to shield the ball, and I think he gave a really good cross, and it was one of the only highlights up front. And in central midfield, I mean, apart from Andrić, there should be plenty of good players. But when Prömel is missing, when Andrić is missing, it did show that we really lacked consistency. And I think one of the things that struck me most last Saturday is that the usual compactness that we have, which makes it really difficult to play against us, just wasn't there.
If there's no other comments, one thing I will say, Owen Parlow's only like just over 12 stone 4 for UK listeners and 79 kilograms for our continental friends. He's not that big. Anyway, the next game that we've got is Leverkusen away. Mark, are you confident that we'll put in a better performance at least?
I certainly hope so. I mean, like I said last week, Leverkusen are a good side. There's no denying that whatsoever. There's going to be a little bit more fire in the game, maybe following on from the controversy of the home game. Don't know how that's going to work out. Haven't heard anything regarding injuries. I think we definitely need like Baz says, a solid midfield. I think that if Andrić isn't playing, that was one of the things about the Wolfsburg game as well. It's never easy when someone gets lost in the warm up because your entire preparations go overboard. And if it's the central focal point of the midfield, the guy who breaks up exactly those attacks that Wolfsburg made, then you're in for a tough start at least. And I think it was Griesbeck came in for Andrić, and it doesn't matter how well or how not so well he performed and everything. It's just not easy to make that start, and I hope that whoever it is there in the centre keeps a real lid on it, and we have to keep those two wingers quiet. Because despite the fact that we beat Leverkusen, those two, the two wingers for Leverkusen, had some first 25 minutes in the Alte Försterei. We were quite lucky to keep it at 0-0 there. In their own place, who knows? We have to keep the nippy guys out on the wings quiet. That's pretty much where it's going to come from, and hope that Luther continues his good form. Then we might get something.
Kyle, your thoughts on Leverkusen, or is it going to be Neverkusen?
Yeah, Neverkusen, potentially, because they play Dortmund on the last day of the season. This game is massive for both sides. If Leverkusen go from in the Hinrunde, you were thinking Champions League, maybe even a title challenge. Up until really, until the game against us, and things seem to kind of fall off a cliff for them after that. Whereas for us, if we are looking to really stake a claim for Europe, this is a massive game for both sides. So no doubt it'll then be one of those quite cagey games where it ends up being, you know, a one goal sort of wins it. Leverkusen did not look that great at all against Bremen, and Bremen are hardly the greatest of footballing sides at the moment. They can't buy a win almost, and are really in that relegation battle and kind of struggling in that relegation battle at the moment. They did beat Frankfurt 3-1 2 weeks before, and yeah, looked okay, but they seem to be kind of fluky goals in that performance from what I recall. So yeah, it'll take a big performance from us to get a result. Were we to win that, I would back us to then qualify for Europe. Which is maybe a big call. I see Baz's eyebrows raising there, but because I don't see them getting points in the last match day, and Leipzig should have nothing to play for in the last match day. They should have second secured. Yeah, massive game. If we can keep the wingers quiet, if we can keep Bailey and we can keep Diaby quiet, and Frimpong and Sundgraven as well, they're kind of fullbacks that may sometimes play in the wing. If we keep them quiet, yeah, we may well have a shot. But it'll be a big ask, and it's the boys will need to prove their mettle for sure.
It is a massive ask, but maybe to give us some confidence, let's look at some of, in particular, after that Union game in the Rückrunde, 13th of February, Leverkusen 2, Mainz 2. Later in the month, Augsburg 1, Leverkusen 1. Another home game, February 28th, Leverkusen 1, Freiburg 2. Another home game, March the 14th, Leverkusen 1, Bielefeld 2. Another home game, April the 3rd. They beat Schalke 2-1. So they've had a few games where, yeah, they've had some great performances at home recently. Absolutely. They came out of that rut and they smashed Frankfurt 3-1 at home in the game before last. But they've gone away to Bremen and only got a 0-0. So we're certainly in with a shout. It's certainly a game that is now our biggest game of the season, and probably, potentially, one of the biggest games in Union's history in what it could mean in the future if we were to win it. Baz, are we getting carried away?
Definitely. I think the main question is whether we can bring the intensity and concentration needed for a match like this. And that is obviously extremely difficult if we don't have the feeling that we've got something to play for and we're really happy with what we achieved until now this season and are just not hungry enough. It's something that you just cannot fake or just tell yourself, like, we have to have this intensity, because that's not how it works. So I think just the rest of the season can go obviously it's a bit of a cliche, but in two directions. So either it's going to be like another no-show on Saturday where we're going to lose completely deservedly, I think 2-0, like we did last year in one of our first away games in the Bundesliga, and where we were absolutely taken apart and did not have a chance. And then we don't really need to talk about the Leipzig game, because even if Leipzig have nothing to win or lose, as we all know, that's not how it works with German teams. Or we bring that intensity, and I definitely think that we can get something in that case in Leverkusen, and then we've got everything to play for against Leipzig. I would like to bring you all back to, I think it was March the 4th, 2020, because it is the last time that three of us actually met in person at a cup game in Leverkusen, where we were still hugging and kissing as if there were no corona and drinking beer. But apart from that, what struck me from that game is how much we had grown as a team compared to the league away game, I think 6 months earlier. And we absolutely dominated them in the first half. I mean, for Union circumstances, and were very much in control in the first 60, 65 minutes. And I'm still very much convinced that if Lenz wouldn't have gotten a second yellow, we would probably have won that game and gone on into, which I think would have been the semifinals even of the cup then. And these are two extremes, you know, the no-show and losing, maybe even big time, although I don't see that happening, or making, to get carried away with you as well, Union history.
Yeah, the Leverkusen Cup game was an interesting one for lots and lots of reasons. But the main one for me, and the thing that I will always take away, is that everybody, because it was the very start of the pandemic, and obviously it was going on, but no one really knew quite what was sort of maybe going on. But it's the only time I've seen every bloke go to the toilets and wash their hands. So maybe some good will come of COVID if people can do that at Union games in particular. Anyway, so we've got Gladbach at home to Stuttgart on Saturday. Obviously, we've got our game. Predictions for both. I think I'm going to kick off. I'm going to go for a draw for Union, and then also I think it's going to be a draw between Gladbach and Stuttgart as well. So that's my nailing my colours to the mast. Who wants to go next?
I'd say a 0-0 for us, and I'd say the other game was going to be a draw as well.
Agreeing with me again, Baz. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you start to worry now, I know.
Yeah. You'll be out shopping on Saturday looking for something there to wear, won't you?
Definitely.
Kyle, maybe you can come in before we get Mark's final predictions for those two.
I'll go with my heart and say that it'll be a win for us. A nice 1-0, maybe a late goal again, hopefully with no fallout after it. And yeah, Stuttgart to put one over Gladbach, that would be very nice and leave things a little bit more comfortable going into the last day of the season.
Very much enjoying that optimism. Maybe it stemmed from a couple of pints that you may have had before the podcast. One will never know.
No comment.
Mark, your thoughts?
Well, I'm still stone cold sober, so hence also realistic. And I'm going to say a loss for us against Leverkusen somewhere around the region of 2-0, like Baz suggested. But I think that Stuttgart will get something from Gladbach. I think that Kolasinac is in a good run of form. I fancy some sort of like 90th minute winner against Mönchengladbach, and then Marco Rosa self-combusting on national TV. That would do me fine.
And of course, our friends at Bremen could do us a favour on the last day and take something from Gladbach, and we could beat our rivals. So who knows? I'm still on the water, so I'm not going to make any more predictions this week, but still certainly all to play for. We had a few comments on the Twitter feed in reference to, I think, some of the comments that we made about Musa and Endo as well. which kind of takes us nicely into some of the comings into Union, or stayings, if you like, because Endo's got a contract. We've got Jackal coming in, Kedder is coming in as well. Gentner's on his way out, who I think we were chatting before. He's played 50 odd games in two seasons, which is incredible for someone who's now 35. Maybe because I'm an old fart at 42, I was hoping that he'd have one more season with Union, but it wasn't to be. But yeah, some transfer stuff going on. Kyle, your thoughts on kind of maybe Endo first and then the other sort of comings and goings?
Endo is a player that's got a lot of potential, but is blown hot and cold so far this season, in my opinion. What he's got in terms of a bit of pace, he's got that dribbling ability as well. I think we can mould him into something that is Bundesliga quality. So I'm happy that he's staying, and I'm happy that we can... Well, he gets a chance to prove himself because he has been unlucky with injuries this season. He's only got to play 15 games. I don't know if you recall the goal that he scored. A lovely technique to curve it round the goalkeeper. And just when he was starting to get into a good vein of form, when he scored that goal, he got injured in the exact same game. It's a shame for him, and he maybe hasn't got up to that height since. In terms of the guys we've brought in, Jakob from Greuther Fürth, who are shooting for promotion in the Zweite Bundesliga, and they've got a really good shot at that, at least for the playoff. He's been superb for them. He's really solid. And I think we'll add quite a bit to our defence, especially if we can keep a hold of Friedrich in the summer. I think he'll add quite a bit to the team. He has played three games in the Bundesliga already when he was at Wolfsburg as a young lad, but he's still only 22. So to get a young player in, that's something we maybe have been lacking, to have those sort of young players with a bit of upside and a bit of potential that we can kind of mould into players for us. It's a good signing. Khedira has, I think I mentioned this before, he's been really poor for Augsburg this season, but the only person that hasn't been poor for Augsburg this season, in my opinion, has been Gikovic. And even then, he was bad-mouthing us in the press, saying that he looks at the table and he just wants to be ahead of us. But that turned out well for him. So I maybe won't take too much from him this season, but in previous seasons he's been a really solid operator. And now that we know Gentner's away, that seems like a really good direct replacement for them. And Gentner, yeah, to play 55 games in two seasons between the league and the cup. He scored four goals for us. I mean, the goal against Köln was quite a big one in terms of us, you know, staying up and maintaining our Bundesliga status. He's 36 in August. He's hardly the quickest player or anything like that, but in his two seasons, he's made a big impact and given his experience to build off of in the team. And maybe he's made up for the goal he scored against us in the playoff. Maybe.
Yeah, before I bring in Baz, you mentioned our former keeper, Gikovic, and Augsburg. And I think it was you, Kyle, who said before we came on, the not yet safe Augsburg. And yeah, I think we had a comment there about kind of German teams and they'll play till the end. And yeah, you kind of hope that does happen, because Augsburg have got a home match against Bremen and then they're away by Munich. So if you're not safe, they're probably not the two fixtures you would want. Someone who's also scrapping the relegation and someone who's been crowned champions already by a country mile. Anyway, I divulged slightly.
I'll try to keep it short. We're only doing sensible things again, I think. So there's nothing against Khedira. There's nothing against Jekyll. That's all sensible. I would have preferred to keep Gentner on board for another season, because I think he's rock solid and still very, very fit. But that's my personal opinion. I can also understand that as a club, you choose to move on. The only thing I want to say about Endo is the same that I want to tell about Musa and about Poyanpalo. My gut feeling is that if you've been around for almost an entire season and you've played 10 or 15 games for us, I don't know exactly how many, and there are still quite a lot of doubts around you, in general, I don't think that's a really good sign. So I think my conclusion with all three players is that I still do see potential, right? Poyanpalo, for instance, he can be a really good clinical striker, as Mark Jameson said last time. Musa, I think we all have a weak spot for him because he's really a hard worker and he has a couple of qualities that we don't have in the squad, but he didn't 100% convince. And Endo, I forgot what Kyle said about blowing hot and cold or something like that, like another Scottish expression probably that I've never heard of. But he hasn't been steady. And in Oli, we trust. In Urs, we trust as well. So it does seem to make players better. But it does mean that if they're going to stay, they really have to ignite next year like Becca did this year for us in the second season for Union. So let's see.
Yeah, I mean, Moose is an interesting one. He's only had like 12 appearances, so it's probably quite hard to judge. But yeah, blowing hot and cold, one of our weird phrases us natives use. I guess it just means, yeah, sometimes he has really good performances and then other times, not good at all. So yeah, I'm sure you'll have a Dutch equivalent.
The ins and outs. I think it's all been said. Basically, Endo, I've already commented on. Jekyll, good young player, like him, like the idea, very Union like signing with potential. Gentner, sad to see him go, but he goes with thanks. Him and to an extent Subotic as well were the sort of the calming influences, the been there, seen that, done it guys in the team. And are we now going for the fact that our established players have now been there, seen it, done it in the Bundesliga? Do we need them anymore, these the veterans? I'm not sure if he's going to be a big miss. I think he's going to be a big miss in the changing room, maybe Gentner with his experience. But let's see. He was certainly, he was pretty ropey at first. Let's not go all misty-eyed. That he had some pretty ropey games, but then for a period, I think it was about 2 months, there was bits where I like wrote him off from a personal level, and he came back really well. He was like one of the best players and gave a lot of stability to the middle. So yeah, he goes with he definitely goes with thanks for his 55 games. Regarding Khedira, there's just one thing. It might like extend past this podcast and everything, but there's a lot being said about his past and everything. And his past is nothing for our English listeners. Like, ooh, has he been in jail or something? Like that sort of thing. No, he once played for Red Bull Leipzig, for RB. And my God, we didn't come from Leipzig. I should point that out. As Kyle said, he's coming from Augsburg. This is just one thing with Union culture. I do like the Union culture. It has far more positives than negatives. I think that Union, to an extent, it's almost northeastern. I think Wilson will back me up on this as well. It's almost northeastern sometimes. Now, is this having principles, or is this just like bloody mindedness and small mindedness? It's an extremely northern thing, I think, that goes there. And if you ever try to enter discussions with like established Unioner, the answer is more or less always the same. You don't know what it was like. And it's true. We don't know what it was like back then when the war was up, which is fair enough. We don't know, like, that's fair. But is that necessarily a bad thing to have a different perspective on things, how you come in to see certain aspects of Union culture? Oliver Runert, I'm sure, won't really ultimately fundamentally care where the players come from. There has been a thing that says that Red Bull, that we will not pay directly to Leipzig, that we will not line their coffers. But to me, having an ex-Leipzig player is just like, seriously, do you have any other problems with wish to beat this guy with a stick? It baffles me, especially when you consider the sheer amount of players that have played for Dynamo Berlin and have come to Union, which must be far higher on the shit list than Leipzig are. I mean, you think like Jan Glinker, for example, long-term, like played hundreds of games for Union. He was a Dynamo youth player. Like, Mario Mech, that's a very old name. He was the guy who shot the decisive goal to keep Union up in the last minute in 1988. He played for Dynamo for 14 years before he came to Union. Then he played for Dynamo for 7 years after he left Union, and then he trained Dynamo. And then after all that, we hired, and he like was very, very, very derogatory about his time at Union as well, as the Unioner of the year 1991 too. And after all that, after all these things, we then hired his son, and his son played for us in the Oberliga. So it's like there's principles and there's principles seemingly among the Union team. Now, I would never support Leipzig, RBL, in any way, shape or form. It's a terrible how they've got to come about. This is a construct, nothing more. But ultimately, if Union get a player that helps them, that has to be your ultimate goal. And it doesn't matter which team you hate, whether it's Leipzig, whether it's Leverkusen, whether it's Dynamo Dresden, we will always have players from other teams, and it has to be good for the good of Union, I think. So I think it's a lot of it's a lot of hot air over nothing. This Khedira coming via Augsburg from Leipzig. Don't agree with that whatsoever.
Good history lesson there, Mark, as well as bringing our listeners up to speed with some of the kind of dissenting voices about the Khedira deal. I guess if you want to talk principles, we're sort of part of flogging these pretty shitty Adidas trainers now for whatever it is, 100-odd quid. We're in the top flight. We need to sign players. If you put an embargo on anyone who's ever touched the marketing construct, then you're sort of weakening your own pool of talent that is out there. Maybe there's something to be said for not buying directly from the construct. Maybe that's one for another day. Just to hark back to another story, because for those of you who've listened to the excellent podcast episode where we talked to Away Day Joe, who's building the Lego version of the Alta First Array, Joe had to go on a bit of a period of rest, enforced rest. I'm sure he was sticking in with his schoolwork at the same time, but he was waiting for the roof to arrive, which has some kind of neat symbolism, Mark, for the Unioner. Pray tell.
Ah, the roof. The roof, the roof, the roof. Yes. Well, when Union rebuilt the stadium with the help of lots of volunteer hours, including myself, in 2008, the roof caused a few problems. The club bought for a fair amount of money a roof from Slovakia, from a company called Omnic. And first of all, they said it'll be a couple of weeks, and then it'll be like, yeah, it's been stuck in customs. And then eventually it arrived and they found out that it was made out of Slovakian tinfoil. So, yeah, that went badly. And then we cancelled the contract with them and we had to wait for ages. Now, the original idea was that we were only going to play in the Jahn Park until October of that season. And as soon as the roof was delayed, it meant that we had to stay the entire season. And that was also the promotion season as well in the Jahn Park. As a nice, neat finishing touch, though, because the delays in the roof took so long, we then decided to install undersoil heating. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to do that at that stage. So ultimately, it all worked out in the end, even though we had to see the celebrations, promotion celebrations in the Jahn Park in Berlin and not in the Alte Försterei, unfortunately. So that's the story of the roof.
Great story, great story. Sometimes there's nothing better than harking back to the old days. When I saw the Bundesliga 2 results at the weekend, there was the 11-goal thriller, Paderborn 8. It would have been one of those ones on the Vidi printer where they then would have written the word 8 just so you knew that it wasn't a typo, 8, hour 3. Mark, again, you're the man with the most history amongst us. You must have witnessed some pretty interesting Union high-scoring games. What's the biggest victory do you think you've seen?
Well, the biggest victory, or the most goals and the biggest victory at the same time, was definitely in the Berlin Pokal. Essentially, if you're not a professional team, which we weren't in the professional leagues back then in League Four, we played against Nord and Nordwest, which is also a Berlin team, and won 20-0. And that was the most goals probably the most goals I think I've ever seen in a 90 minute period. Yeah, I think we almost lost count. Karim Benyamina scored 6. I think Roman Prokhorov scored 5, which shows the quality of SV Nord-Nordvest. And the others were dotted around. But that was definitely the most goals. And honourable mention also for a more competitive game, which was in against Nuremberg at home. The season before that finished 5-3, and that was a cracking game. That would definitely go in among the best Union games I've ever seen. I think that might be something for a podcast if we're struggling for content. Best games we've ever seen at Union, that was certainly up there.
Sounds like a cracker, and certainly does sound like one that we should maybe give some airtime to on another podcast. I think we're going to keep it fairly short this week, unless my colleagues have got anything else they want to say. But I think we've covered everything. I think we've remained upbeat and positive on the back of the 3-0 reverse, and we go into the game against Leverkusen on Saturday with bit of reality from some people, bit of positivity from others. So let's see how we do. We'll report back again next week. We'll be recording on the Monday evening, and obviously a lot of games between now and then in both the relegation battle that Hertha are still embroiled in and the Union potential march to European glory. You've been listening to Matushka's Right Peg. Thank you very much to Kyle, Mark and Baz. And as ever, I look forward to seeing what title Kyle will give the episode. Cheers.